The service today is going to be a little bit different for visitors. We're so glad we've got some visitors here. We're going to be ordaining John Brown today as an associate pastor. And I was telling Donna, who I've been seeing for a year and a half, probably one of my hardest messages, because it's the start for my end. I'm not leaving, I'm not going anywhere right now, but there still has to be a process. I've been here 34 years, folks. Some people go, boy, I wish he'd quit. And then some people say, oh, I don't want John. But, it's God's house. This just the way it's going to be, and the way it has to be. But I want to go through that, and the title of the sharp message is First a Servant. Before God's going to move you to the next place, you have got to be willing to serve. I get so tickled people come in and say, well, I'm a part of the church, and they're here once every 6 or 7 months. No. I've always said, you can come into my house and visit, but don't move the furniture. You don't live there. And it's the same here. If you're coming in once every and think you're part of the church, no, you're missing it, really. I'm not condemning and putting judgment on you. I'm just saying you're actually really missing what God's called you to do. Well, in that, I want to go through a few things. Matthew 20, verse 28. The New Living Translation says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many." It all starts with servanthood. It all starts with giving your life for other people. If Neil and I were talking about this morning, the Bible tells us, and I'm not right now exact where it's at, but it says that in the end times, we, and it wasn't talking about the world, we will be lovers of self. Well, if you're not serving and giving, then who are you thinking about? Who are you spending time on? Who are you helping? But we've got to come to the place of recognizing we've got to be a servant. In Ephesians 3, verse 7, it says, "By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him and spreading the good news." See, there's in all of us. See, if you're breathing, you're supposed to be working for Christ. Now, you don't work for Christ to get him to love you. You work for Christ because you love him and because you want other people to recognize the peace that you can have in your life and how life can really be when he's first in your life. When he's not first and somebody else is taking that place, then you recognize things don't run as smooth as they normally do. But I want to share with you, and I thought just such a good illustration of someone that become a leader, but yet didn't have a servant's heart. In 1 Samuel, and I'll tell you this story rather than read so much of it. In 1 Samuel 15, first three verses tell us what's going on. Samuel, now who's a prophet, said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." In other words, Samuel's saying, you are going to become the king. We are setting you apart. See, that's what ordination really means, is we're telling you that John has told the leadership here that he's going to step in a position that someday he will be the lead pastor. Now, that may be 2 or 3 years down the road. We don't know if it might be 6 months. But, you know, I had a heart attack 3 or 4 weeks ago. I could have been gone. Now, we've got in our bylaws that John would have took over, but you all didn't know that. But it's a time for us to say, he's going to be here to help out. He's going to be the associate. He's going to preach a whole lot more than he's been preaching. We've got some arrangements that's got to be made. We've got a new office manager that's going to have to come in because he's doing that and he can't do them both. The list goes on and on, the changes. His class will be different on Wednesday nights. Who will have that? A lot goes on. So we're putting the word out so you can serve. And help fill in and make the church grow. That's where it's all at. It goes on. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts. Now listen to this. Now remember, this is whole covenant. It says, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on his way to his camp from Egypt. Now listen to what he says to do. Now go and attack Amalek, utterly destroy all they have, and do not spare them, but kill both the men, the women, the infant, the nursing child, the ox, the sheep, the camel, and the donkey. In other words, you are anointed to be the king. And to be the king and to be the servant of the people, this is what I want you to do. Pretty rough assignment. It's one thing to take over an area, but to go in and kill everything that moves. But you see what happens here. Verse 9. Let me get back where I was. Look at verse. He gets his people together, but Saul and the people spared Agag. Now he was the king. And the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fartling of the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. Now what happened here? The one that was assigned to be the servant wasn't really being a servant. It goes on in Scripture, then Samuel, in verse 13, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And I love verse 14. But Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I heard? In other words, Samuel, who was the prophet, Samuel, who was the lead pastor, Samuel, who was the boss, had servants. But this servant did it like he wanted to do it. I think it's interesting because it's a really good show, and I really did like it. I've watched it a couple times, and you may have all seen it. Top Gun, the newest one called Maverick. Saul was a maverick. Saul was the best, but Saul couldn't become a servant. Maverick couldn't become a servant. Maverick was glorified in the movie as doing the best and accomplishing the deed. But yet he was called a maverick for a reason, because he could not submit to authority. He could not really serve like they wanted him to serve. I've been watching John, Jenny, Josiah, the whole crew. How many years, John?
We started coming in 2003, but in full time in 2010.
Long time. I have been watching, especially John. He is not a maverick. Now, when he's got a different opinion than I do, and many times, he comes across with his thoughts in humility. But if I say, no, this is what we're doing, see, the person that's in charge, some of you just don't see this, the person that's in charge sees things differently than everybody else. That's why I'm in the position I'm in right now. Because I see things differently. So a Saul will do it. Well, I know better. And we've had Sauls here. And we've had Sauls come and we've had Sauls go. Because Sauls don't last. Because if you continue, this is a good set of scriptures to read. If you continue to watch this, Samuel says, God says, if you can't do what I tell you, you're gone. That's when David come on the scene, who had a heart after God, who did whatever. Now, did he make mistakes? Oh, study his life. He did. But he still had a heart. He made mistakes. He didn't do it defiantly. And as I've watched John and as I've watched Jenny, she come up in charge of the youth, in charge of all the classes. We've had times where we've went back and forth because same thing. But when it comes right down to it, yes, Pastor. That's why I'm looking at John as as associate pastor because I know he doesn't always see it like I do, and I won't always see it when he takes over. But that's how it runs, and that's how it works, and that's how it goes. And some may say right now, I'm leaving. Well, go ahead, Maverick. The only way the church is going to grow is to let God grow it. The only way the church is going to take is going to do and reach the people is to let God take care of it. You know, Elisha followed Elijah for 20 years. And they bucked heads at times. I mean, he even went to Elijah and said, "Hey, what am I going to get when you're gone?" I mean, that's pretty bold. And Elijah, who's the first one, said to Elisha, "If you see me go, you're going to get double portion." He's seen the man that followed him and did whatever needed to be done. You say, well, Pastor, that's a yes person. No. That's just someone that's serving God, that's following the protocol of the way God's designed things. It's an awesome thing when you get somebody that works with you, but yet gives you their opinion. That's what you need to grow and to move and to go forward. God is a good God. He definitely takes care of his people, his church. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and to bear fruit, that your fruit should remain." See, God's looking for a person that'll share the heart of Christ. I've listened to John and watched John preach, and I tell you what, though, really, John, the man sitting beside you is really the one that should be getting the credit right now. Gene's probably reading his Bible. He's the one that put in John what John's got. And then John passed it down into the family that he's got and put it into them. That's how it works. But we got to recognize, to have somebody in charge, you got to have somebody that can do this. A person that can share the heart of Christ. A person's nature, a person that's mature with the emotional ability to handle getting stabbed in the back. If I could turn around, you could see all the times I've been stabbed. How did I do on the first ones? Terrible. But as I grew and matured into things, you know, I thought when I first went into ministry, I thought everybody loved me. I found out pretty quick they may say they loved you, but they still got a knife in their hand to get you. And you got to learn to forgive, and you got to learn to just walk on, and you got to learn to let them go and do their thing, and you got to just and not criticize anybody that's happened to me with. That's just the way it is. That's called people. That's why we all need a Savior. Doc, I think the medicine I'm having to take for my heart's making my mouth so dry that I can't really talk. My ticker gave me a little bit of trouble. And I was talking to Gene, and Gene said, "How you doing?" I said, "Oh, pretty good." He said, "Well, I've got five of them." He's got five stents. I got two. I'm not going to try to catch up with you. All is good there. But we've got to have a person that understands what it means to serve. And I think as I've watched John and watched Jenny and watched their family, that God's got a replacement for me. And I don't take this wrong. Please don't take it out of context. I'm not going nowhere right now. John will be the associate. I will still be the senior pastor. And maybe down the road when he takes over and does more, he'll be the pastor. And I'll still be a senior pastor. I've been around too long just to leave. I've even talked about taking Richard's job. I don't know if Richard's here or not. Richard's ready to retire from maintenance, and I thought, well, can I go from senior pastor to maintenance? Well, my heart better get stronger before I try to do that. But I don't. I got my hands on everything on this entire building, right down to the concrete that's poured. Matter of fact, I had to show John where to shut the power off. We had to kill the power the other day, and I was probably the only one that knew where everything was at to turn everything off. The water's the same. The list goes on and on. So I'm not going nowhere. So, Pastor's leaving. No, not yet. But I am. but not yet. Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord." God knew, God knows what's going on right now. God knows my heart, God knows John's heart, God knows the whole family's heart. Jenny is going to be just as part of this as he is because they're married, they're one. It's just all part of it. You say, well, is that the way it's supposed to be? As long as John stays in charge, absolutely, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it is in marriage. I could go on with all that. We got to recognize God's got a plan for the church, and I want to be a part of what God's doing. And the purpose, really, of the service today, and then we're going to take communion, is I want to have John and Jenny come up, and I want to have all the elders come up. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to set them apart. That's what ordination means, is to say, this is John, this is Jenny, associate pastor is here, which has been needed for a long time. But you got to get the right one. It's something I've learned through the 34 years. It's really easy to put somebody in a position, but it's really hard to get rid of them. Come on, grin at me. It's the truth. So let's do it right, and I think we're doing it right. I think I know all the leadership's absolutely with me 100%. John, bring that woman of yours up here, and let's lay hands on you two. Elders, would you come up? Nothing else. I'm going to get me a ramp so I don't have to go up and down.
There you go.
Come on up, elders. How's it set up? Senior pastor, as soon as we can get done praying for these two. Senior pastors, me. Associate pastors, John. His wife's got to put up with him. And then you've got the elders that are all up here now. And then you've got deacons that are out there with the families. That's how we've established. That's how the Bible says it's established. Yeah, oh well, good. What are we doing? We're setting these two apart. How much responsibility is it? Oh. But you got big shoulders. Matter of fact, you work out pretty good. That's why he's been doing that, actually. Come on in, guys. Father, we just lift up John. We lift up Jenny. We know that they're both already doing a tremendous job here. They're serving tremendously. They're not even, no way even thought about being as a Saul. They're like Elijah. They're like David. They've got a heart for the people. They've got a heart to do the right thing. Will they make mistakes? We all make mistakes. But will they overcome all through it? Yes, because you're in charge. We as a church leadership is setting them apart, ordaining them right now to be youth director, an associate pastor to fulfill the need that is here right now, Father. We thank you for everything they're doing. We're behind them. We're supporting them. And we thank you for it, Father. And we give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, yes. Now I'm going to put John to his first assignment. John, go get on the keyboard. I thought, how can I bring this together at the end? We're a body. And what's communion? Communion is the body coming together and thanking the Lord for what he's already done for us from the beginning to the end, everything he's done. So, Doc, if you and those that are assigned to come up, and we'll pray over this. We've got this bread and the wine together in two cups. Hopefully they'll come apart. You say, well, why? Go ahead and let's pass it out, then we'll pray for it. Why? Because we have got to, as a church, fight this spirit that's over this country. There's a division everywhere you turn now. It doesn't matter what they say, what they do. There's a division going on. Go ahead, guys. Got an extra one right here if it needs to go. But there's a division in the entire country, and it doesn't matter who it is. It seems like Doc said, they want to cut down the person beside him that's running against him. Let's get together And as we take communion today, let's recognize that Christ died for everything that's going on in our lives, and He chose to forgive all of us for everything that's going on. And let's be a part of that. Judgment, but you don't want to do anything about it. Get involved. Fill in the voids and all that goes with it. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you died. You took the stripes on your back. You took the suffering of everything that we'll ever suffer through. Help us to recognize we're not mavericks, but we're more like David. We've got a heart after you. And we thank you for that, Father. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Let's take this together. Ha! these yesterday. I said, oh, that's really dry. I said, well, you ought to have to try to speak. Well, you're all sitting there getting yours down. I'm going, no. I'm glad he died for all my junk. And Father, I thank you. This grape juice that we're taking represents the blood. Oh, without the blood, we're nothing. And we thank you because of the blood. Because of the blood, everything's going to be okay. Help us to be a part of what's okay. Help us to be a part of what you've done in our lives and everybody that's around us, Father. We thank you, Father, that because of the blood, we're walking in right standing with you. Because of the blood, we've been sanctified. Because of the blood, we've been redeemed. We thank you for everything you've done for our lives. We give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take this together. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the body of Christ. Not just this body, but just the body of Christ as a whole. And Father, we recognize by what just watching, occasionally watching the news, how crazy things are getting, but yet you know where everything's at, and you've got everything in control. We trust in you, Father, and we thank you for it. We give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise and worship team, if you'll come up. I love this song that we're getting ready to do. Folks, he has taken care of everything. I think sometimes every one of us think we could run things better than him. I think he knows what he's doing. Do a little bit of study in science. Everything's perfectly in place, and if anything's out of place whatsoever, it don't work. So our place is to get in line with what he's got going and watch what God does. Because the fight's already been taken care of. Many of us fight for nothing. I mean, it's just dumb. Just enjoy your husband. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy life. Enjoy your church. Come in with a smile on your face and let him do the work.
My eyes on Jesus Christ, I'll say that.
5 extra minutes, give Pastor John a hug.